Right. We have been looking at spiritual growth, and we kind of seen what it meant. And last week we looked at three stages, a model of how it really looks on spiritual growth. Stage one, we said we realizing Christ. Stage two was developing Christ. And stage three is where we want to be at, and that is characterized as Christ-like. That's our ultimate goal, is to be like Christ. But also we need to keep in mind that although possible at any stage that we are in, on this spiritual growth chart that we looked at, the lower we are on the chart, then the more likely spiritual growth will stall. Not only will it stall, but we will become discouraged. And so why is that? It's because of the fact of where we concentrate our focus on. What are we focusing on? If our focus continue to be on self, then what happens is we will likely slowly stop growing spiritually. And so we have to understand that we must stay focused on who? The Lord. Stay focused on the Lord and become Christ-like, because the ultimate goal is to hear Him say, "Well done." And so tonight, we're going to, I think, Brother, you're going to give out handouts? Okay. Okay, so tonight we're going to be, as he's looking at it, obstacles, because there are many obstacles along the way to this journey from being Christ-like. So I couldn't just tell you that you could just be Christ-like right now, from right today, but there are obstacles. You can, but there are obstacles along the way that you and I need to be familiar with, because guess what? We can all become sidetracked. We can all become sidetracked, but then when we become sidetracked, you got to get back on track as soon as possible. And so as he is passing out the lesson tonight, as we're dealing with obstacles to spiritual growth, one thing that we can know for certain, as we begin and as we continue with our spiritual growth, what we need to know is that you will have an enemy that will try to hinder your growth. You're going to have an enemy that's going to try to hinder your growth. And so if you don't know what that enemy is, you're going to be having some problems. And so who is the enemy? We got to realize the enemy. The enemy is Satan. All right? The enemy is Satan. It's not your watch on your wrist. No, it's not the calendar on your wall. No, it's not even the vacations and the things that's coming up in your life. No, it is Satan. And so you have to be aware of that, because what Satan will do is that Satan will use every weapon in his arsenal to attempt to stop us. That's why, you know, Satan, we shouldn't take Satan lightly. Satan got some power. And so he is trying to stop us. And not only that he will use every opportunity, he will make every effort to tear us down and degrade us, because that's Satan. Satan don't want you to serve the Lord. Satan don't want you to grow spiritually. And so what Satan will do is that Satan will do everything in his possible means to try to degrade us. Why? Because he knows our weaknesses. And we got to understand that. He knows all about us. And he will use our weaknesses to do what? To turn us around from serving the Lord. And so he'll use whatever he can find. He'll use things, he'll use people, he'll use whatever he is to try to get you off track from growing spiritually. That's Satan's job. And so the more that we make the effort to mature spiritually, guess what? The more we become a target. Y'all know what a target is, right? And so we become that target. The more that we try to mature spiritually, grow spiritually, you have to understand, you have to be aware, Satan is there. He knows just how to tempt us in our weaknesses. There are some scriptures that I want you to go back and look at in your study. You remember he tempted Eve in Genesis chapter 3. We find the account of David in Psalms 51. We see Paul over there in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 and 15. Even Jesus himself was tempted in Matthew chapter 4. And he will tempt anybody else who profess loyalty to God. Guess what Satan will do? He'll try to tempt you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. And so what we have to realize tonight is that we must realize that when we take the direction of putting God first in our lives, reordering our life priorities, guess what? Satan will step in and he'll try to mess it up. That's Satan. That's Satan. But Paul warns. He warns the church in Ephesus. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see how he warns the church there at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, he says now, first of all, in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be what? Well, why would you say be strong? Because guess what? There's something that you and I are about to face. And so he says, before you face this, you need to be strong, not in your power, not in your might, but whose? In the Lord. So he says, put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. He didn't say put on some armor, right? Because that's not going to do it. But he said put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, there it is, to stand against who? The devil. I told you earlier, that's your enemy. And you got to be able to stand against him. And in order to do that, you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Now look at verse number 12. He says, for we wrestle not against what? We are not wrestling each other. That's not the fight. But who are we wrestling? He says, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but guess what? Principalities. Against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high place. Satan is our enemy. And he does not want you to become spiritually strong in the Lord. He wants you to be weak. And so he'll do everything in his power. And so we got to understand, y'all, that we are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual war. That's what we just got through talking about. We must stand strong in the armor of God. You got to put on the whole armor of God. And so as we continue our spiritual growth, we will come up against obstacles. We're going to come up against obstacles. Guess what? That they're going to have a potential to trip us up. You know, it's just like there is a big old rock or stone in the way, and you didn't see it. And all of a sudden, guess what? You run up on that and you trip. You have to understand that that's what obstacles do. Obstacles will trip you up. if you ain't careful. And so when it comes to our spiritual growth, what you and I need to do is that we got to seek to remove any obstacles that prevent us from becoming who God wants us to be. And who do God want us to be? Christ-like. So in order to become Christ-like, then we got to remove any obstacles in our lives. And so there are many obstacles to spiritual growth that we face every day. Yes, ma'am. And when you look at that, the whole arm of God, really you're starting out by, you got to define, you know, what that armor was. And so, in other words, you got to go back and think how it was back then. What is the helmet for? It's for protection of the head. All right? When you go back, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Because watch this. When he go back, he says, when he said the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, then he describes it. He says, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. What that was is, you know, what was the loins for? What was the loins for? What was it? Okay, it was something that you put around your waist that would what? Hold the equipment, hold the sword and all of that. And so he talks about you put on that. And so you got to have what? The sword of spirit. And so you got to, and then he talks about having the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what is a breastplate? What was it used for back then? See, sometimes we have to make things just like Jesus did. He took stuff that was familiar and made a spiritual application. And so what is the breastplate for? What does it protect? All right? Because he says that there are going to be some fiery darts are going to be shot at you. So you got to have something to protect you. And then he talks about what? Taking the shield. What's the shield there for? All right? So you identify that. And then he says, then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Then he tells you what it is. Right. Right. And so it takes that. So a lot of times it's good to use, if you're familiar with illustrations, to bring about whatever the point that is trying to make. And so the point of it is that with the Word of God is going to help you, you know, to be able to deal with all of these things. And then he says, but also not only the Word of God, but you got to be constantly doing what? Praying. Prayer is powerful. So sometimes people, you can read some things and they might not get it. So when you sit down and explain, if it's feasible, if you know, kind of explain some things that can help them to see what you're trying to talk about. You know, bring it into focus, and they can really see it. So when they understand that, they can understand, you know, what this armor was. You know, because of the fact you described, you know, what it's used for. And so that'll help you. All right? And so we have to understand. So there are obstacles that we face every day. Internal obstacles based on our attitudes and our actions. External from those around us and through Satan's influence on our lives. These are obstacles that we have to understand. But regardless of the source, what do we got to do? Regardless of whether they are internal, regardless of whether they are external, what do we got to do? We must work to eliminate, minimize, the influence. You got to do that. And so to understand that, one of the major obstacles that can hinder our spiritual growth, do you know what it is? Self. Why would I say that? Why would I, out of all the obstacles, why would I say that the major obstacle is self? Hold that. Okay. Hold that. All right. Okay, and that's right. We can get in our own way. Because that's why every day, guess what? Every day there is a battle between what? The flesh and the spirit. There's a war going on. Even Paul said that, right? So there's a war going on. Every day you're going to have to understand, I got to battle between the flesh and the spirit. But at the end of the day, I got to ask myself, who won? Did I let the flesh win? Or did I let the spirit win? And so we have to understand that. And so if we fail to constantly evaluate ourselves, then what up? We're going to become weaker spiritually. Every day we need to look within ourselves. We need to take a self-examination. Every day. Well, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? When you fail to self-evaluate. Well, what I'm talking about is personal insight into your strength and your weaknesses. We all have them, right? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And so when you identify what they are, it's an empowering gift for change and for improvement. In other words, I know what my strength is. That's good. I continue to work on that. But when I understand what my weaknesses is, guess what? It helps me. Now I got to do what? I got to work on it. I got to improve. That's why I said earlier in our lesson when we first started a week before last that what? Nobody in here is perfect. We all have flaws. And so we got to identify that. And so we have to understand personal insight into your strength, into your weaknesses. And many of us, guess what? We don't take time to examine our lives. We are so busy with a lot of things that's going on. How many of us stop and just really look at our lives? Examine our lives. How are we doing in our relationships? Are we being our very best? So these are some things that we have to begin to ask ourselves. Where in our lives can we develop new strengths? You look at those things. What habits have I developed that are not contributing to my future growth? See, these are things that we ask ourselves. We have to evaluate ourselves. Because guess what? We are trying to be what? Christ-like. And if you're going to be Christ-like, you've got to remove those things that will hinder your growth. Y'all with me? And so we have to understand, we have many reasons why we don't evaluate ourselves. Well, why is that? Because it does not come naturally to us. It doesn't come naturally to us. Not only that, we just never take the time to really stop and look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. And so we have to understand that. And we don't think it's good to look intently on ourselves. All right? It might not be good. Oh, I to look at me. No, I can look at other folks. But not me. But we got to examine our sails. All right? And so why should I do that? Because if we don't self-evaluate, guess what? We don't see the consequences for our life choices if we don't evaluate. But we see everybody else. And so as a result is, we can fall into a false pride, thinking we're better than everybody else. And so you don't want to fall into that, thinking that, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm fine. Thinking that, and so what the enemy does is that the enemy hides consequences of bad choices until it's often too late. For you and I. That's why, y'all, it's important every day. I got to take a look at myself. I can't look at anybody else. I look at myself and make sure I'm living, make sure I'm doing in accordance to God's word. Because when you stand before God, you can't stand before God and say, well, that person or that's done that to me. No, you're going to have to answer for yourself. So when I stand before God, I want to make sure that I'm right with God. All right? And so it's important, y'all, to keep a solid foundation of humility. And that involves personal evaluation. Why is that? Because the more we rely on self, the more ineffective we are and the weaker we are spiritually. That's why I say you got to move from self to being what? Like Christ. All right? And so the more we rely on self, it becomes ineffective because we become weaker spiritually. We think that, hey, well, you know, we focusing on self. Ain't nothing in this word that's going to help me. Now, you got a problem. So that's why you have to move self out of the way. Well, why? Well, why is that? Why did I say the more we rely on self, the more ineffective we are and the weaker we are spiritually? Because maybe we are afraid to step out and learn more. Because guess what? When you step out and learn more, guess what? You're going to see some things in your life. And I don't want to see it. So guess what? It comes to the second point. Maybe it's not on here, but, you know, there's some things that I thought about after I printed this. Maybe we are comfortable and content in our situation. Maybe we think we got it all together. And so we got to understand. Listen here. This is where many times Christians get stuck. They get stuck in a place of comfort. And when you get comfortable, guess what? We're going to stop growing because there is no energy. You're not putting anything in it because you think, I'm already there. I'm comfortable. Never be comfortable with where you are. Understand that there's always room for improvement. All right? Because if you're growing, guess what? You're always going to be outside your comfort zone. That makes sense? If you're growing, there's going to be a lot of things that's not going to be comfortable. Well, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you got uncomfortable? Think about it. Something that made you uncomfortable. When was the last time that you commit something that was inconvenient? When was the last time that you went out of your way to do something for somebody else? It takes you out of your comfort. It's just like, you know, it's just like driving. You know, if you see somebody, you're driving on along the highway and, you know, if you didn't pass them or something, you see them ahead of time and hey, that car was broke down. You know, it was time you would, you know, you stop and say, hey, you need any help. It's easy if you're going that same way. But what happens when you're on the other side? Then you have to come back, way down, go down, and then come back and come back. Now what happens? That takes you out of your what? Comfort zone. And sometime in life, as we're growing spiritually, we got to begin to understand that it's going to take us out of a comfort zone. All right? There's going to be some things that you see in His Word that, man, whew. And so we have to understand that. And so maybe we are reluctant to turn ourselves completely over to God for His purpose. And so we have to understand. These are some things that we need to be aware of. We cannot live on our past growth in our relationship with the Lord. Can't do it. And so the more of our will we turn over to God, guess what? The more effective we become. We got to get to the point to say, you know, as the song says, all to Jesus what? And we sing that song. But are we just singing it just the words of the song, or do we mean what we're singing? We're saying, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I what? I will ever love and in His what? So we sing that. And so we got to make sure if that's what we're singing, we're meaning what we're singing. And so if you say, all to Jesus I surrender, are you doing that? It's something to think about. All right? So the question comes, how do we turn over our will to God? How do we turn over our will to God? Well, we got some things there. Number one, we pray to discover what God's will is. We ask God, God, help me. Help me, guide me to understand what your will is. What is it that you want me to do? And then when we realize it, what do we need to do? We do according to who? His will. All right. When we realize what His will is, we do according to His will. And so if there is a conflict between what we will and what God will, what do we need to do? Who do we submit to then? For that? All right. So that shouldn't be no, oh man, scratching my head, what am I going to do? No, that shouldn't be no, that shouldn't even cross your mind. When it comes to your will and when it comes to God's will, I submit to God's will. That's what you do. All right? And so we have to understand that. But not only do we pray to discover what God's will is, but what else we do? Is that all we do is just pray? No, we study. We study God's Word. Now, study is more than reading. Why is that? Why would I say study is more than reading? Okay. All right. And so if we just read, we are really not just focused, we're just reading. But if we stop, and my purpose is to study, then what I'm going to do then is that I'm going to focus on His Word, but also what I'm going to do is to discover how it applies to me. In other words, what is it can I get from this that's going to help me in my walk with Christ? That's not it. You're focusing on the word and what it is that I need to. You know, I always use an example of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's a good passage of scripture. Now, if I just read it, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, all that way, denies him, that's the directed path. I just read it. But if I turn around and study it, if I turn around and put myself into that, trust in the Lord, then I make it personal. Skip it, trust in the Lord. With what? All your heart. I can't lean on my own understanding. Why is that? Because it's limited. So I got to lean on who? His understanding. I got to what? Acknowledge him in some things, all things. I got to acknowledge who he is, what he can do, what he has done. Acknowledge him in all that way, and guess what he will do? Now, when I studied that, I got to understand, do I believe that? Did I believe that he will direct? And I look back over my life and see how many times he's directed. Y'all find that studying. You're really getting to study how it's applying to your life. You're doing more than reading. And so it means that you apply. And through divine efforts of prayer and through focused study, God reveals his will to us. Right? What is our part? It's to obey his will. It's to do what he says. That's our part. And we got to understand, y'all, it's just not a Sunday effort. It's just not a Wednesday effort. It's a day-to-day effort. Every day. Every day. And so as life changes, guess what? We are faced with different situations. Every day you are faced with something different. You are faced with different situations. You are faced with different challenges and insights. And so what we have to look at is we got to look at them through the eyes of God, through Jesus. Because knowing that even though my situation, even though my challenges, even though my circumstances, I look at it in God's eyes and say, God, he's brought me through situations. He's brought me through challenges. He's brought me through those things. And so I know he'll bring me through today. And so that's what we have to do. And so if we focus on self, it's going to slow us down. All right? None of us can serve God effectively and powerfully if our first priority is self. Can't do it. So what does that mean? We must turn our lives over to God entirely. That's surrender. I surrender all as we grow as God desires. And so as I kind of close, and we're picking this up just a little bit, we might not finish it. Probably won't. We're going to pick this up, and then next, Lord's willing, next Wednesday, we're going to look at courage to grow. Because in spite of the obstacles that you and I go through, we still have to have the courage to still grow, to still be where God wants us to be. All right? All right. Oh, you didn't get. Okay. All right. So we'll pick this up, finish this up, and then we'll go into our next lesson.